Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Captain America Minute, where we examine the 2011 Joe Johnston-directed feature, Captain America, the First Avenger, at the rate of 1 minute of screen time per episode. I'm one of your hosts just a few miles from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. This is Jim O'Kane of TVDads.com.
And I'm Hal Bryan, an airplane nerd from the home of the Experimental Aircraft Association here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
And I am Brian Fees, a graphic novelist and lifelong Avengers comic book reader. And we are thrilled and honored today to have a special guest. Sergeant First Class King Gaviola is our U.S. Army recruiter. And I'd love to talk with you about your background and such. The Army was kind enough to send us a bio. You've been in service for 14 years, currently assigned to the United States Recruiting Command Headquarters in Fort Knox, Kentucky. Thank you very much for being here.
Yes, sir. Certainly an honor. I appreciate you guys for having me on here. And just like what the bio says, I've been here at Fort Knox roughly about 2 months now. Great base to be in. Family loves it here. Kids love it here.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Hal, what's going on in this minute?
All right. Well, I'll tell you about minute 14. At the World Exhibition of Tomorrow, Steve Rogers spots an Army recruiting center amid the fair's bustle and quietly slips away from Bucky Barnes and their dates. Bucky, turning to the group, calls out, "Hey, Steve, what do you say we treat these girls?" His voice trails off as he realizes Steve is gone. In front of a mural depicting soldiers, a mirror replaces one soldier's face. A taller civilian checks his reflection, adjusting his hat. A woman tugs his arm, saying, "Come on, soldier," and pulls him away. Steve steps up, gazing at the mirror, but his slight frame leaves his face out of view, too short to fill the soldier's place. Bucky catches up, exasperated. "Come on, you're kind of missing the point of a double date. We're taking the girls dancing." "You go ahead," Steve says, his eyes fixed on the recruiting center. "I'll catch up with you." "You're really going to do this again?" Bucky asks, his tone sharp. "Well, it's a fair. I'm going to try my luck," Steve replies. "As who, Steve from Ohio?" Bucky scoffs. "They'll catch you, or worse, they'll actually take you." "Look, I know you don't think I can do this," Steve says, his voice steady. "This isn't a back alley, Steve. It's war," Bucky counters. "I know it's a war," Steve snaps. "Why are you so keen to fight? There are so many important jobs," Bucky presses. "What do you want me to do, collect scrap metal in my little red wagon?" Steve retorts. "Yes, why not?" Bucky says. "I'm not going to sit in a factory, Bucky," Steve insists, his voice rising. "Bucky, come on. There are men laying down their lives. I got no right to do any less than them. That's what you don't understand. This isn't about me." And there we are, minute 14.
Great minute it is. Well, Sergeant, you really are on the front lines of the civilian world in getting people from being a civilian to joining you in our United States Army. Could you talk about a little bit about how you wound up, your own story of getting into the Army? How were you recruited?
Yes, sir. So I myself actually joined the Army back in 2011. And so I wanted to do a little bit different outside of what I was usually doing. I just graduated high school. And so I wanted to do something for myself, my family, just to kind of keep myself busy. So I ended up, long story short, walking to a recruiting station in San Diego, California, just getting information about the Army, the Navy, kind of compare the two. And ultimately, I ended up choosing the Army. One of the main reasons being the many jobs that the Army offered versus, you know, the smaller amount that the Navy was offering me. And I wasn't able to swim at that time. And so I opted to go into the Army. Recruiter gave me all the information, answered all the questions that I asked. I had my mom and dad there with me. They supported me. And it took me a couple days, I would say, when I took that test, went to MEPS, the processing station, to do my physical, and ultimately, you know, pass, raised my right hand, swore in, and here I am 14 years later.
So have you been in recruitment the entire time of your service?
Just about half, sir. So I've been in recruiting now since 2018, so just about 8 years. Traveled all over the world, but I can tell you that recruiting is the best job I've ever had. Just impacting a lot of lives and just making sure people get to their goals is what gets me going. So that's something I'll continue to do.
Thank you for that. I have a question that yes. pertains to this minute. What would you do with a kid like Steve Rogers who comes to you and they're small and they're weak and they're not physically fit, but they've got all the fighting spirit and attitude in the world? What do you tell a person like that?
Yes, sir. You know, I can tell you I've had many scenarios just like Steve Rogers back in my recruiting days, from a regular recruiter to a station commander. So I can tell you that if I have Steve Rogers coming up to my recruiting station or any of my recruiters, I would absolutely sit down, get to know him, ask him what questions he has, what his goals are, and then just let him know straight up, hey, you know, you might not be at the correct height and weight. You might not meet the physical standards right now, but none of this can permanently disqualify you. And that's what I tend to do as a recruiter, is to keep these applicants or potential, you know, U.S. soldiers motivated. That way they have an idea of, you know, what we have to offer. They know that we actually, you know, care, and that we are willing to, you know, invest time in them to make sure that we have them achieve their end goal, which is to eventually join the U.S. Army.
Fantastic. It's great to hear that attitude, that yes, it's, sir. You're not just going to sort of slam the door in the face. You know, something that I was curious about, you mentioned in your own experience, you know, you were looking for that next step, looking for that direction.
Yes, sir.
And you sought out the recruiting stations. Is that more common? Is it more common that you have recruits sort of proactively coming to you? Or do you find you get more people from your own proactive outreach? Or what's the mix like there?
So my recruiting experience was mainly from California. And so California is a little bit different, only because we were more successful with us going to applicants, i.e., you know, school events, college events, just events outside the norm, because we would have to think obviously outside the box in order to get our message out there. And with California, it's very diverse. So tailoring that message with the U.S. Army and what we have to offer was difficult, but it was very doable. We would have a few that would walk into our offices, you know, just like what I did, and ask for information. But we were more successful in reaching out to the audience, reaching out to high school kids, reaching out to college, you know, reaching out to referrals of those people walking into our office that were asking for information. So it was certainly an uphill battle, but again, very doable, just because, you know, we don't stop. You know, if we have a mission out there, you know, we will get people to, you know, believe in our product. And so the U.S. Army offers so many opportunities.
Right. It must have been tough in a big Navy town like San Diego. I mean, I would imagine there's competition with the Navy trying to don't get on the ship. Come on with us. I know that a lot of recruiting stations, you have several branches of military there. So is there frequent competition within the office saying, oh, we got another one?
Absolutely, sir. And you nailed it. San Diego is home to one of the biggest Navy bases over there. But I can tell you, believe it or not, there are a lot of opportunities that us, the U.S. Army, has to offer that's very different from the U.S. Navy. So I have a younger brother who's currently in the Navy. And he even tells me, hey, you know, this, what you guys are offering in the Army is more than what I was offered in my whole 12, 13 year career in the Navy. You know, so there's always a comparison, but in the end of the day, you know, it's all about, you know, what you want and what you want to do in your life. So in this case, back to Steve Rogers, you know, coming from a person that was, you know, pretty skinny, didn't look like he was fit at all. No one gave him a chance, but in the end of the day, he was the one that ended up having the biggest heart, you know, and we do find that a lot within our applicants. We do have people coming in. We look at them. We judge them a certain type of way. But in the end of the day, they show and prove to us that, you know, they're more than capable of what we ever thought they were.
As this is going to air in January of the year, I'm assuming that you have different different groups of kids. You know, like you'll have seniors graduating from high school. You have young men and women in college, you have people after college. for the high school, the high school candidates or potential candidates that are coming out, where are they in the process now as you're heading toward June?
Yes, sir. That's actually a great question. And this is something that we plan ahead. Okay, so currently right now we're in the month of December, about to be in the month of January. So we like to plan things. We like to coordinate events with both, you know, schools, colleges, in this case with high schools, because, you know, high school graduations are mainly in the May and June timeframe. And as you guys know, during the holidays, this is some tough times, you know, for not only high schools, but for some people in the world. So we do our best to, you know, get that message out there. For the future soldiers that we already have, we keep in touch with them. And then for the high schools, for the potentials that we have, we always make sure that we reach out to them. We engage with them. We don't lose contact with them. We keep in touch also with their parents, because as you know, most high schoolers are 17 and below. But we just want to let them know, hey, you know, we're here. We have answers to your questions if you guys have any. And we're just that resource that's always there.
My question is, of course, Captain America, the first Avenger, is set in World War II, almost all the whole movie. And
yes,
it struck me there's a significant difference between recruiting during a draft versus the all-volunteer army that you grew up with and joined. Now, there were in the 1940s a lot of volunteers like Steve and Bucky, but it seems to me that the modern army needs a very different approach than your drafted report on Monday. And that's a question. Well, you know, you've already kind of hinted at that. You've almost got to sell yourself these days, don't you?
Yes. And essentially, as you mentioned, sir, it's still an all volunteer force. But again, it's not like we have applicants coming in. Hey, you know, like I'm ready to join. What do you guys have to offer me? To answer your question, yes, we still have to sell ourselves. We still have to let the public know the opportunities that we offer, you know, enlistment incentives, for example, you know, duty station of choice, you know, cash bonuses, you know, certain jobs that are pretty much high priority or very popular, for example, medical jobs. So that stuff or most of those things require information that we as recruiters have to put out there. Which gives the target audience, you know, potential recruits, high schoolers, college students, the answers that they need to know in order for them to have an oversight, a better idea of what kind of careers that we have. So, yes, the selling part is a big part of it, sir.
Jumping off the idea of highly needed jobs,
yes,
the particular MOSs that you have, what are those high priority jobs, and what kind of certifications or training do people are you looking for like, you know, the top three?
Yes, sir. So right now, high priority jobs are mainly artillery, intelligence, combat jobs. I see these are frontline jobs, you know, that are pretty much in need most of the time with the U.S. Army, only because, you know, this is what the Army needs and in demand most of the time. But the good thing about us with the U.S. Army is that you don't need any types of training or certifications, because you get all that in basic training before you even graduate and get awarded your job. So in this case, you know, go through basic training, get your AIT. And then once you get to your unit, you get that high priority job, then that's when the actual hands-on training happens. And then from there, you just, you know, continue to move on and get promoted, do great things, go to airborne school, go to air assault school. And then from there, you know, another good thing with the U.S. Army is you don't have to keep the same job your whole career. If for some reason you end up falling in love with a different job or just changing your mind, then by all means, you know, the Army can send you back. Get recertified for that different job, and then off you go. So it's not only a career builder, but it also, you know, sets you up for the civilian side if that ever comes up for people that don't want to do 20 years.
Speaking of that, in your own career change, moving into recruiting, how did that come about in the process of your career?
Oh, with me converting, that's actually what got me to permanently convert from a 92 Yankee, which that's my prior job in the Army, supply. Converting into a permanent recruiter was Essentially, just the impact of me helping people. I see some applicants out there that had it pretty rough, don't have anything, don't have that moral support, don't have family support, and then looking to us, the Army, to us as the recruiters, for an opportunity. I think the most rewarding part is not every applicant is perfect. I'm sure everybody knows, medical issues, law issues, whatever the case may be. And for both the applicant and us as recruiters to overcome those obstacles, get those waivers approved, get to the finish line to be able to go and, raise your right hand and swear in is the most rewarding part. And that's the main reason why I converted, and this is something I plan on doing for another, hopefully, 6 years, 20 plus years.
Wow.
Do you find that you have a knack for spotting talent? Like, do you have an applicant come in and you just say, "Oh yeah, you're heading to airborne," or you're going to be a Green Beret someday? Do you get them in and kind of let them discover their own path? How does that go?
Yes, sir. So it's actually 50-50. Believe it or not, some of the ones that right off the bat that I can tell, hey, you're pretty jacked. You work out a lot. You're going to be an airborne ranger. Some of them will, for example, pass the ASVAB. Some of them will have medical problems, which is okay. We can overcome those obstacles. And then we have the ones, just like Captain America, that don't look like they're the fittest, but believe it or not, sir, they're the ones who get promoted, even before they go to basic training. They're the ones who have the strongest work ethic. They're the ones who send us the most referrals. They're the ones who go out and into the real army after they join and get promoted the fastest. So it's definitely a 50-50 in that case. Now, there are some people, what we call unicorns, that come into the recruiting station, no problems, no weight problems, completely healthy, pass, the physical and join immediately, which is very rare. But again, I myself look forward, to overcoming obstacles because again, it's just that joy of getting them through the finish line, making a difference. Because I keep in touch with all my applicants as soon as they graduate basic training, social media, what have you, they'll reach out to me, and I'd say, congratulations. And from there, it's that relationship. It's a lifetime relationship because some of them will come to me when they're private, specialists, lower enlisted, and ask me for advice. So being a mentor to them is something that I take personally as well, and I enjoy it.
That's really impressive. And you said something interesting that it's really struck me that obviously, so number one, we're here because we all love this movie, and yes, and it's a perfect movie. There are no
Yes,
flaws.
sir.
But it's of course, it's obviously a fantasy. But this idea that somebody, like Skinny Steve, maybe not quite that short and skinny, but somebody with the right motivation and with the right attitude, there is a kernel of truth in his arc in this film that he makes a good soldier or a super soldier in this case because of that attitude and because of his motivations.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And I always go off the phrase, and I'm sure everyone's familiar with it, is to not judge a book by its cover. Because again, what we see on the outside is sometimes completely opposite of what that actual person is capable of. And I can tell you just watching that movie, I have a 13-year-old son, and I tell him all the time because he's very similarly built to Steve Rogers in that movie. And I tell him all the time, hey, Caleb, if this is something you want to do, don't let, and I mean, do not let anyone tell you no, that you can't do anything. As long as you put your mind into it, you put effort into it, you can do anything you want to do. Now he's 13. Obviously, he finds some of that stuff cheesy, but I'm hoping that as he gets older, that he'll see himself in the mirror and, one day be that force, the fighting force, serve his country honorably. And, just hopefully be like Captain America.
That's fantastic. I do have one other quick question, and that is, I'm always curious for anybody who has sort of particular subject matter expertise. So I introduce myself, I'm an airplane nerd, and watching aviation movies with me isn't necessarily a lot of fun because I'm the guy saying, "Well, that's wrong, that's wrong. It doesn't do, none of that's quite right." You don't have to name names. I won't put you on the spot. But is there something, broadly speaking, when you go to a movie and there's a reputation or a representation, excuse me, of the US Army, is there something that a pet peeve or something that they almost always just get wrong?
Yes, they do. And for some reason, I'm not sure if this is me, and I'm sure people in the armed forces can vouch for that too. The uniform, from personal experience, is something I can see spot on. Just details, attention to details, what have you, that I can see. I'm not going to mention any movies, but you know, the wrong rank, the wrong branch, the wrong insignia, the wrong badges, you name it. Those movies have probably been guilty of it. But you know, I think me personally, I think that's what makes us great. Right, with the training that we all go through, with the education that the Army offers, it just gives us so many opportunities that's we just know right away, right? These are values that are instilled upon us. And so as soon as we see something that's not correct, we can spot it. And this is a great example of you mentioning movies that have, you know, military involvement, and not everything looks correct on screen. And so I'm sure I'm not the only one that spots it, but I think a big part of that is, you know, us and the training that we get.
Well, with that in mind, if you remember, it might have been a while since you've seen this movie. What did you think of Steve Rogers' boot camp when he's
I kind of opened up memories when I was in boot camp in 2011. But you know, it's I feel so. Most of my applicants that actually graduate boot camp always come back to hometown recruiting for 2 weeks. And believe it or not, they'll tell me I expected a lot more, you know. And to me, we prepared them so much that boot camp wasn't as tough as they thought it was going to be. And so we always tell them, if you guys have that right mindset, you guys can overcome any obstacle. Because I always tell my applicants, you know, boot camp is essentially 90% mental. Right, the other 10% is physical. So if you guys believe in yourselves, know why you joined the Army, just going back, any struggles that you guys have, you guys will absolutely overcome. And so 9 times out of 10, they come back to my office after graduating basic training, and they will tell me that they thought it was going to be a lot harder than they thought. So it makes me happy knowing we prepared them correctly.
That's really, really impressive because, generations ago, maybe at some point, maybe just thinking back to sort of when I was in high school and all the sort of the noise being very apocryphal, but, there would be a sense that some recruiters out there might give the profession a little bit of a bad name. Say, oh, they'll say anything to get you in and you have no idea what you're in for. And I'm not suggesting that that was even ever real, much less that it's anything like that today. But it's really nice to hear that you've got so many people coming back and saying, in a sense, they were plenty prepared. And how nice that must be to go and find out, hey, this wasn't as miserable as I was scared it was going to be. I did it, and thank you for being honest. That's an impressive fact right there.
Sergeant, I have one more question. A lot of parents listen to this show. Well, hopefully, a lot of parents. We're not sure what the numbers are right at the moment, but a lot of parents,
Yes,
people
sir.
have kids in high school and things like that. I know you must hear a lot of concerns, a lot of, what are they signing up for? What are they doing this? What are the most common concerns that you hear from parents, and how do you respond typically?
Yes, excellent question. So, from my experience as a recruiter, one of the most asked questions, especially for parents, high schoolers, is my son going to war? You know, is my son or daughter going to war? And if so, are they going to be in danger? And will they come home safely? So I always tell the parents that, you know, of course, we don't control anything, but I can tell them that the opportunities that we have with the U.S. Army, you don't have to be infantry, right? You select the job that your son or daughter, they get to pick the job that they qualify for, obviously based on their test scores. So that's what makes us unique. And I always tell the parents of that with the US Army, you hand select your job. You don't have to do something that you don't want to do. So I tell them, your son and or daughter, they are going to be safe. They are going to have those opportunities, both on the military side and on the civilian side. That way, you know, they have a plan for both. You know, if they don't like the military, transition back into the civilian side. At least both times they'll be ready. I think that gives the parents a little bit of peace of mind, knowing that number one, their son and or daughter is going to be safe, and that number two, they will have a plan B in case, you know, the military doesn't work out. So my mom was one of those when I joined. Now, granted, I did join when I was a little bit older. My mom cried. My dad was upset, which is a typical, you know, normal reaction that most parents would have because, you know, the military, right? And what you see as the Army, what you portray the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, what have you. So in my opinion, it is a normal reaction, but it's all about getting the right info out there. You know, answering the parents' questions, giving them that peace of mind to let them know, hey, this isn't just, you know, kicking doors down, being Rambo. This is the U.S. Army, where it's an opportunity where there's, you know, literally over 150 jobs that you can qualify for. And believe it or not, I always tell parents this too, that 90% of these jobs are logistical, you know, they're support. And the other 10% is combat for those that want to do it. So I'm all about peace of mind. I'm all about transparency, especially with my mom. I told her when I pick supply, mom, I'm going to be in the supply room. I'm going to be ordering stuff. Like, I'm going to be okay. So that helped her, you know, kind of calm down 14 years later. And, you know, here I am. And hopefully she's still proud of me.
Well, I'm sure being a parent yourself gives you a different or a new perspective on that issue as well. You'd have those same concerns as well, I imagine. But and it is, I mean, you don't want to blow sunshine up anybody's skirt. You're in the Army. It's potentially dangerous job.
But it, yeah,
correct. Yes. Yes. And so I always tell, because I have five kids myself, they're all under the age of 18. My son is thinking about joining the military. And, you know, I tell him, Caleb, it's not going to be the perfect world. You know, it's just like any other job. You do have to put in your effort. You are going to have your down days. You're going to have your up days. But it's like any other job in the world where you have to put in that effort. You have to learn and you have to just go and get that experience to be able to, you know, judge it for yourself. And I know a lot of parents, you know, it's hard to sugarcoat stuff because parents are very smart. You know, they want the best for their son and or daughters. So especially as recruiters, you know, that, you know, look or that, you know, bias that we get, you know, from the public, what have you, sometimes it's a little bit harder to get those parents to get that buy-in. But the way I do it is transparency, transparency, transparency. You know, answer every question, have them that peace of mind. That way they know what they're getting themselves into. And from there, you know, you just drive on.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, my wife used to be a civilian contractor for the Army Reserve. And she worked in the tuition assistance program. And I just want to make sure, Sergeant, you are using your tuition assistance because that's what she used to insist on, to make sure that all of her soldiers use the benefits that were part of it. Are you doing that?
I am. And I'm excited to be able to do that because so I use my tuition assistance to be able to get my bachelor's degree. I'm in the process now of getting my master's degree. And, you know, tuition assistance, $250 per credit hour. That's really helping me out because in a year or so here, I'm going to be done with my master's degree. And this is something I tell my kids too, especially my oldest, who's 13 now, is that's one of the biggest benefits of the U.S. Army. And education, tuition assistance, that can help you. You know, who wouldn't want a free college tuition, right?
That's true. Yeah. And I mean, just make sure you get your, I mean, the thing that she constantly told her soldiers is get your paperwork in on time. the one thing she would harp on. So,
well, that too. Yes, sir.
I'm sure she will be relieved hearing this episode about you. Thank you so much. Wow. Well, Sergeant, really can't thank you enough for getting this together and for also those in your command that are that arranged all of this. It's really wonderful to hear from a military. Thank you so much for your service to the country. We really appreciate you being a part of all this. I know that, you know, in this, the Army has to face the same technological challenges that we do in marketing and, you know, reaching out on social media and podcasts and things. That's a very positive thing, and I appreciate you being a part of all this.
Absolutely. And again, I want to thank you guys for having me. It's certainly an honor to be here speaking with you all.
Thanks. We'd also like to thank our audience for joining us. If you'd like to continue the conversation, we're always available at Camp Lehigh, the Captain America Minute listeners base on Facebook. If you do like our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a like at the podcast streaming service where you found this episode. Also, please check out our website, capminute.com, for the latest about our podcast topics and guests. And be sure to join us here next time on the Captain America Minute.
I can do this all day.